Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
I'll be spiked out. I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I most definitely leave from.
New York, the concrete jungle where dreams are made of, is where quarterfinal action is continuing Wednesday at the U.S. Open Tennis Tournament. In the first quarterfinal at Arthur Ashe Stadium, Anna Konja of Croatia is playing Karolina Pliskova of the Czech Republic. This match will be followed by a men's quarterfinal between Japan's Kei Nishikori and two-time Olympic champion Andy Murray of Britain. Later Wednesday evening, top-seeded American star Serena Williams, who's bidding for a record 23rd major title in New York, will be the favorite against Romania's Simona Halep. And in the last quarterfinal of the day, Argentina's Juan Martín Del Potro, the 2009 U.S. Open champion, takes on Stan Wawrinka of Switzerland. Del Potro is one of the big comeback stories in New York. After three surgeries on his wrist, he's hoping to reach his first Grand Slam semifinal since Wimbledon in 2013. Del Potro says he's a bit surprised to make it to the last eight.
I didn't expect to be in quarters in my second Grand Slam after my comeback. And I'm doing in a good way because I'm playing good tennis. My level is growing up every day, and I'm so glad to be in the last eight in this tournament, and I will have the chance to play another big challenge. Everything can happen, so I will try to be there.
In action Tuesday, Gael Monfils advanced to his first U.S. Open semifinal by beating fellow Frenchman Luca Puy in straight sets 6-4, 6-3, and 6-3. Monfils reflects on his victory.
It's not always easy to play quarterfinal against a French guy, you know, and I think I handled it pretty good mentally, tennistically, so, you know, I'm happy about that. I'm happy also where my game is. I see new good stuff today. My serve was a bit better. I've been saying, I think, to the French press that I could serve a bit faster, and I think I did it great today.
In the semifinals, Gael Monfils will face world number one Novak Djokovic of Serbia. Djokovic is having what's being described as one of the weirdest Grand Slams anybody's ever had. Novak advanced by walkover in one of his matches because an opponent was injured, and two other opponents have retired mid-match. The latest was Frenchman Joe Wilfried Tsonga, who quit with a knee injury, with Djokovic leading Tuesday night 6-3 and 6-2. In women's play Tuesday, Angelique Kerber of Germany and Caroline Wozniacki of Denmark advanced to the semifinals. Kerber eliminated Italy's Roberta Vinci in straight sets 7-5 and 6-love, and she could be headed for another showdown with Serena Williams. Angelique beat Serena in the final of this year's Australian Open, and she lost to Serena in the women's singles final at Wimbledon. Caroline Wozniacki, meanwhile, ousted Latvia's Anastasia Sevastova in straight sets, 6-love and 6-2. Sevastova rolled her ankle in the second game, and she was hobbled the rest of the match, and Wozniacki took advantage.
I think I was just extra focused because I saw her fall in that second game, and she stood up, and I knew that, you know, if she can still walk and she can still put weight on it and stuff, then, you know, she's going to obviously go more for her shots and stuff like that. But, yeah, I kept cool. I kept serving well and just kind of made her run. So I'm pleased with how I managed to keep composed.
Danish tennis star Caroline Wozniacki speaking at the U.S. Open Tennis Tournament in New York. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Good to be with you, and good to talk about tennis being my favorite sport. I'm so excited during these 2 weeks of the U.S. Open that we get to talk a lot about that.
I'm guessing Flushing Meadows might be trending, Andrew?
Yeah, well, you know what's trending? You talked about at the start of the show, the concrete jungle where dreams are made of. Well, that's certainly the case for Caroline Wozniacki. She's having quite a run at the U.S. Open after struggling with injuries and some time off. Now she's back in the semifinals, and this is, keep in mind, just a few short years ago in 2014, a tournament that she went to the finals of, and she was ranked in the top five. So she's fallen quite a ways, but New York has been very good to her. She says she loves playing there, and a lot of people pointing out that she has an apartment in New York. She spends time there during the year. She said last night in her post-match interview that her mom was going to be doing some home cooking at her apartment, so she gets that, which is lovely for her. And she did the New York City Marathon a few years ago, and she did it in a pretty quick time. I think it was about 3 hours, 45 minutes or so. So she has a strong connection to New York, and so it's been good to her, like we said, and hopefully it'll continue to be good to her. Her ranking will keep going up. Even if she loses in the next round to Angelique Kerber in the semifinals, she'll be back in the top 30 based on her performance this past 2 weeks.
Do you think Wozniacki takes the train to the tennis, Andrew, or maybe gets another type of ride?
I think she gets a ride. Actually, I saw on Instagram she had put some videos up with joking and laughing with some friends in the back of one of those lovely Mercedes-Benz courtesy cars that they have to shuttle the players back and forth to their hotels, or in her case, her apartment in Manhattan. She didn't say where it was last night, but she said it has a great view, and I bet it probably is one of those lovely, expensive, tall apartment buildings in Manhattan.
Are any other players trending at the U.S. Open, Andrew?
Yeah, well, we talked about Wozniacki being back in the top 30 after this tournament, and there's also, as we're talking about the women's final and who's going to play in that, this battle for number one between Serena Williams and Angelique Kerber. Now, Serena lost to Kerber, as you mentioned, in the Australian Open. She lost in the French Open. And remember, those were tournaments that she won last year, so she loses some of her ranking points because of that. But what it boils down to is that if Serena and Angelique Kerber both get to the final, whoever wins not only wins the U.S. Open, but will be the world number one. So if Angelique Kerber can beat her in that final, if they both make it there, she will be the new world number one. So that's kind of this undercurrent that we're talking about on the women's side with rankings as well.
How do you rate Kerber's chances if she should face Serena?
It's going to be interesting. You know, Serena said that when she beat her in Australia, she wasn't playing her best. And Serena, when a player beats her, it's kind of like, fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice. Fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. I don't think Serena likes to get beaten twice by the same person. She ups her game to try to improve it.
Gaël Monfils, Frenchman in the semifinals, Andrew, is he trending?
Gaël Monfils has been trending all summer, actually way back to the City Open, which he won here in Washington, D.C. He's had a great hard court season, so a lot of people expected him to do well at the U.S. Open, and he's certainly lived up to those expectations. One person that's trending, as you mentioned, Novak Djokovic, hasn't really gotten a lot of court time, which is very bizarre, and maybe, you know, his prayers were answered because he came into the U.S. Open and said, you know, I really think he needed some time to rest and recover. Well, he's gotten a lot of opportunity to do so with all these walkovers and retirements. In fact, somebody tweeted out and said that the total time so far that Novak Djokovic has spent on court at the U.S. Open has been 6 hours and 26 minutes. In the 2012 Australian Open final that he played in, he was on the court for 5 hours and 53 minutes. And that was one match. So he's been on the court through the quarterfinals for about as long as he was for just that final at Australia. So it gives you a sense of how little time he spent on the court. There were a lot of questions about how that might affect him, if it would be a bad thing that he wasn't getting as much play. But I think it's shown by the scoreline that it's been quite good for him. So we'll see if he can continue that steamroll. And I have a feeling it may be number one and number two on the men's side as well, Djokovic against Andy Murray, to see who will win the U.S. Open title between those two. They've had the back and forth all summer long, all season long. They've both done very well. So we'll see you in the showdown this weekend.
Thanks, Andrew. That's the VOA's social media reporter, Andrew Palcheski.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest, better part of the bottom of your heart. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
Hey, g'day, mates. Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right. Give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sunny Man on the sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
And if you check out my Facebook page in just a few seconds, I want to encourage all our Voice of America listeners that we're going to be going live on Facebook, very shortly, and we will be introducing a special guest in Studio 22. Right now, I am pleased to introduce Heather Maxwell, the host of the VOA's Music Time in Africa program. Sporty greetings, Heather.
Thank you, Sonny.
Heather, I'm going to ask you about your program on the weekends, right?
Yes.
But first, I understand you know a song that is near and dear to my heart.
That's right, Sonny.
Could you possibly sing it for us?
I'm ready.
What is the name of the song?
Sunny Side of Life.
I love it. I love it.
Here's a little bit of it. There's a dark and a troubled side of life, but there's a bright and a sunny side too. You will meet with the darkness and strife, but the sunny side you also may view. Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way if you keep on the sunny side of life. Though the storm and its furies rage today, crushing hope that we cherish so dear, but the cloud and the storm will pass away, and in time sun will shine again clear. So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way if we'll keep on the sunny side of life. If we'll keep on the sunny side of life.
Very nice. Keep on the sunny side.
Yeah. And I know, just for you, Sonny.
I know all of our VOA listeners are on the sunny side now. If you're just tuning in, go to facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My special guest, Heather Maxwell, the host of the VOA's Music Time in Africa program. Heather, talk about the show.
Sure.
When are you on the air with Music Time in
Africa? Right, I'm on the air on the weekends, Friday at 0900, and then Saturdays and Sundays at 0900, 15, 20, and 2200 Central Time.
And I know you feature a lot of African music and African artists on the program.
Yes, it's all African music and sometimes diasporan music, but it's pure African music, 60 minutes of all kinds of music, pop music, stuff that's trending currently, but also really old classics that people just love to hear and you can never get enough of, and sometimes some brand new up-and-coming artists. So do quite a bit. And I always usually feature one interview with one artist per
now
week.
We opened the Facebook Live video with a special instrument. It sure looks African, Heather.
Yes.
Talk about that instrument.
This one is from Mali. It's called the Kamalin Goni, which is the youth harp. And I learned it in Mali when I lived there. I lived there for 4 or 5 years. So a woman taught me a song, and then a man taught me how to play the instrument, because normally men play this, but a few women are playing it now.
And what is the name of the instrument, Heather?
Kamalin Goni.
Kamalin Goni.
So this song is called Samba Jang, and Samba is the name of a man, and Jang means great. Bintu Sidibe, a singer from Bamako, taught it to me, and she's just praising her husband. Now, I'm going to try to throw in a little praise for Sonny John.
Okay.
Sonny Side of Sports, if I can. Samba John and Biwili City Bay, Samba Fone, you will la, Molo Naikotole Fe, Samba John and Biwili. Samba Johnny be willy city bay, Samba phone and you will la all on the equatole fee. Samba Johnny be willy. Chain you malona, Sulian you mafe, Samba Johnny be willy. Chiwara lona, Dabakalama, Samba Johnny be willy. Sunny Johnny be willy, sunny side of sports, nibi willy la. Mogolo nae kotole fe, Samba Johnny be willy. Sunny Johnny be willy, city be, Samba Johnny be willy la. Mogolo nae kotole fe, Samba Johnny be willy.
Very nice. So that's what's called a prayer song, sort of?
No, praise.
Praise song.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a song where you insert, you flatter somebody and you describe the ways in which he is or she is so amazing.
Okay.
And so this one is, she's singing for her husband, and she says, like, you can tell that you're a wonderful man because when you walk, the level of noise and talk behind you as you leave is so flattering. It's so loud. You create such a great ambiance and chatter about you as you leave. You're a great man.
Heather, you were recently, I believe, in Liberia and Sierra Leone.
Yes.
on a special trip. Do you find that the music in those countries, Mali, that they kind of intermingle, that you hear a lot of the same sounds, or are the sounds very distinct?
You know, it depends. Actually, sometimes they're very distinct. It depends. Liberia, Sierra Leone, you know, they're neighboring countries, so the music there tends to be a little more similar. But in Mali, it's very, very different than in Sierra Leone or Liberia. It all depends. You know, Africa is such a big, beautiful, rich place musically that I can be doing this for the rest of my life and never ever get tired of hearing the same thing.
I know your predecessor Leo Sarkisian traveled widely throughout Africa during his great career. In fact, this studio or the studio next to us is named after Leo, the Leo Sarkisian studio. Which countries have you traveled to in Africa, Heather? I mean, or is it too many to mention it?
No, I can remember. I mean, I've lived in Mali for many years, like I said. I lived in Ghana as well and in Ivory Coast for each of those countries 1 year. And then I've been traveling quite a bit to South Africa, Malawi, Kenya, Burkina Faso, Senegal, Liberia, Sierra Leone, Cameroon, Morocco, and Ghana. I said Ghana, I think, already.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my special guest here in Studio 22 is the widely traveled Heather Maxwell, the host of our Music Time in Africa program. And we got to talk a little bit about sports, Heather. This is a sports show. So although I do love music,
yeah.
What are some of your sporting, what's your sporting background?
You know, my background, when I was in high school, I was a track, I was a runner and basketball player. But I'll tell you what I do now that I love is surfing.
Surfing, okay.
Surfing. I picked it up about 8 years ago when my parents moved to the Dominican Republic, and they live on the North Coast, which is famous for its waves. And so I go there at least once a year to see my parents. But also I definitely surf and I love it. In fact, I'm going in a couple months.
Well, before you hang 10, is that what they say, hang 10?
Yeah.
I'd like to hear some more music before the show comes to a close.
All right.
Can you play something else for
sure,
us?
Sure, I'll do this song, which is one of my own originals. I composed it when I was living in Mali during the coup d'etat. In 2012, I was stuck in my beautiful apartment because we were told to not leave. But I noticed that across the street, there was a big mango tree, and most of the Malians by then had sort of gotten over the shock of the coup, and they were hanging out, having tea, laughing. And I was thinking, you know, this is not so cool. I'm here alone in this beautiful place, but it's no fun because I'm all alone. So... Mango tree, your shade looks lovely from where I can see. People sitting under you trying to beat the heat, 106 degrees. Mango tree, people under you seem so happy. Even though they might be hungry tomorrow, that don't get them too down. Oh, 'cause look at me, sad and alone in my beautiful home. Well, I'm just across the street. I've got everything I need, but I'm so alone, just sitting here so alone, so alone. Now, now, mangoro, now, mangoro, now. Now, mangoro. One more time. Now, mangoro. Now, mangoro. Now, mangoro.
Heather Maxwell. Very nice, Heather.
Thank you.
I want to read one quick comment from Ibrahim Turai Mohammed, who's been listening and watching Heather on Facebook Live. Ibrahim writes simply, amazing, amazing, the amazing Heather Maxwell right here in Studio 22.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. And that wraps up the September 7th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America, videographer, producer, and lighting man, Bill Werkinger. He's behind that camera. Yes, he is. Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to Voice of America engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, met with five steering members of the Religious Leaders Anti-Corruption Committee on August 25th to discuss their ongoing efforts to counter corruption in Nigeria through teaching, preaching, and government advocacy. Reverend Lottie Thompson of the Living Waters Unlimited Church and Imam Shefiu Abdul Karim Majimu of the Strength and Diversity Development Center represented the steering committee for the interfaith group, which took shape after a January 2016 anti-corruption dialogue between religious leaders in Lagos and U.S. Special Representative for Religion and Global Affairs, Sean Casey. Committee members include Reverend George Diala of the Covenant Foundation Christian Center, Alji Tajuddin Atanda Babatunde Osho of the Lagos Central Mosque, and Mr. Soyemi Olade Ismail of the Strength and Diversity Development Center. Joined by U.S. Embassy Deputy Chief of Mission David J. Young and Consul General Francis John Bray, the committee representatives shared with Assistant Secretary Thomas Greenfield their views on the effects of corruption on the development of Nigeria and the weakening of government institutions and accountability. They discussed their plans to promote anti-corruption norms and efforts through training and mentoring programs, the development of educational materials that promote integrity from a religious standpoint, as well as traditional and social media campaigns. Assistant Secretary Thomas Greenfield thanked the religious leaders for their work on an issue that was crucial for Nigeria and urged them to continue to work together as a team with the U.S. mission in Nigeria. I encourage you to become more focused, more creative, and more collaborative as you continue to work to enhance your anti-corruption impact, said Assistant Secretary Thomas Greenfield. As moral leaders in Nigerian society, you have taken a very important step to get at the root of the problem of corruption. She noted that religious leaders would benefit from greater cooperation with other civil society actors in order to create more peaceful, stable, and secure communities.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Next week on Straight Talk Africa, choosing the hero, my improbable journey, and the rise of Africa's first woman president. Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, the 2012 Nobel Peace Prize winner and president of Liberia, is a subject of a new book by River Levinson, an in-depth discussion on the life and career of Ellen Johnson Sirleaf is next week, right here on Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
Do you know the political process that determines who the next president of the United States will be? Tune in to VOA's extensive coverage of the campaigns, the voting, and the final tallying to find out how citizens choose their next president. Right here on VOA.
Hello, Africa. This is James Bratty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.